Good morning, Mendocino. This is Jeff Blankford back in KZYX's Philo Studio, wishing you a very happy and productive new year and welcoming you to the January 9th, 2013 edition of Takes on the World, a public affairs program that has come your way on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month since January of 2001. Well, next month, the world will observe another anniversary, one of unmitigated and unimagined tragedy. February will mark the start of the third year of the Syrian uprising, which now, far from its peaceful beginnings, has brought an unparalleled level of bloodshed and destruction to what once was a center of Arab civilization, with the UN now estimating the death toll at 60,000 and the numbers of refugees in the hundreds of thousands. It's the latest disappointing chapter to what was welcomed by much of the world as the Arab Spring. British journalist Patrick Coburn of the London Independent, who he last spoke with about Syria in June, is back in London after spending 10 days there, and he'll be sharing his on-the-ground observations with us at about 20 minutes past the hour. Until then, let's look at another situation that, apart from the fiscal cliff smoke and mirrors show, has been the talk of Washington for weeks and still is. Though quite different, its outcome may also have profound effects on America's future, since it appears to be a contest over whose national interest will be uppermost in determining the administration's Middle East policies, America's or Israel's. I'm speaking of what was at first a leak by the White House, a former Senator Chuck Hagel's name as President Obama's likely choice to replace Liam Panetta as Secretary of Defense. Not surprisingly, given some of the frank and critical opinions that Hagel has made of Israel, the U.S.-Israel relationship, and the power of the Israel lobby over Congress and U.S. Middle East policy, a sense of panic enveloped the countries of Israel firsters, who quickly moved to block the appointment. Leading the charge is one of the leading Jewish neocons, William Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard, a Fox News commentator, and founder of the Emergency Committee for Israel, and soon spokespersons for leading Jewish institutions, their lackeys in the Senate, and the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post followed their lead, declaring Hagel unfit for the job. Kristol's Emergency Committee for Israel is currently running TV spots, attacking Hagel, similar to those it used against President Obama in the last election. One of Hagel's sins that led to him being labeled an anti-Semite on All Things Considered Monday by Council of Foreign Relations senior fellow and convicted Iran-Contra felon Elliot Abrams was that he used the term Jewish lobby to describe, well, a, if not the Jewish lobby, which is widely viewed as violating the unwritten but tightly enforced rule that one might not use the word Jewish as an adjective in a pejorative or negative way. In an interview with former White House negotiator Aaron David Miller, that was published in Miller's Too Much Promised Land in 2008, Hagel is quoted as saying that, quote, "the political reality is that the Jewish lobby intimidates a lot of people up here. I have always argued against some of the dumb things they do because I don't think it's in the interest of Israel. I just don't think it's smart for Israel," end quote. Abe Foxman, the head of the Anti-Defamation League, which 20 years ago was caught red-handed by the FBI and the San Francisco police running a nationwide spying operation, blasted Hagel for never retracting those comments. He told the Washington Post publication Politico, quote, "What I find more troubling is Hagel had sufficient time to distance himself from the Jewish lobby," quote, to explain, and he hasn't. He let it stand. I find that's more troubling than the original statement. He sees it out there. He sees it being as the truly conspiratorial view that the Jewish lobby controls foreign policy, and there's no comment." End quote. It should be noted that in the Israeli press, as you will hear later, the preferred term is Jewish lobby, because in Capitol Hill that's essentially what it is, and moreover, many Israelis view its actions as largely self-serving and not necessarily helpful for Israel. Two other statements by Hagel to Miller also ruffled the Israeli firster's feathers. One, that he never signs the countless letters that AIPAC prepares for members of Congress to send to whoever is president who demonstrate their fealty to Israel because they are, quote, stupid, and perhaps this one most of all they do not mention. Hagel says, "I am a U.S. senator, not an Israeli senator," end quote. The lobby, by whatever name you want to affix to it, has other problems with Hagel. He is not a hawk. twice wounded in less than a month in Vietnam with two Purple Hearts, the former Sergeant Hagel knows war unlike his critics, and although he voted for the initial war authorization for Iraq requested by President Bush in 2003, he soon became one of its sharpest critics on Capitol Hill. Moreover, the votes and statements he has made concerning Iran have made it clear that he would not support a U.S. attack on Iran, that the neocons of Project for New American Century, wearing new and different hats, are lusting after. Consequently, they are unable to stomach Hagel's call for, quote, direct, unconditional, and comprehensive talks with the government of Iran, end quote. Another Hagel crime in the view of his critics was that he was just one of two senators to oppose the Iran-Libya Sanctions Act in 2001, although last fall he did sign an op-ed signaling openness to a tougher line on Iran while weighing the cost of U.S. military intervention. In 2006, following the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hagel rejected the lobby's position that the enemies of Israel are, without discussion or debate, America's enemies, and was one of only, quote, 12 senators who refused to write the European Union demanding that it declare Hezbollah a terrorist organization, end quote. As if American legislators have any right to tell the Europeans how to conduct their foreign policy. One can imagine the uproar in Washington if the Europeans try to tell the U.S. Congress what it should be doing. The National Jewish Democratic Council, which had been strongly critical of Hagel's position when he was in the Senate, issued a statement on Monday expressing its belief that Hagel would follow Obama's lead on Middle East policy. Quote, "While we have expressed concerns in the past," the statement read, "we trust that when confirmed, former Senator Chuck Hagel will follow the president's lead of providing unrivaled support for Israel on strategic cooperation, missile defense programs, and leading the world against Iran's nuclear program," end quote. While some of Hagel's critics backed off somewhat after Obama made the appointment official, the American Jewish Committee, the nation's oldest Jewish organization, which is seen as a lobby's foreign policy arm, has not. AJC officials have been spending much of the last decade traveling the world, pressing U.S. allies to take Israel's side against Iran, and have published a number of ads in the New York Times and elsewhere presenting Iran's nuclear weapons, that they don't have, as a threat to the United States. On Monday, following President Obama's introduction of Hagel as his nominee, the AJC issued a press release urging the Senate to, quote, fully probe Hagel on key U.S. security issues, end quote. The organization's executive director, David Harris, issued a statement which read in part, quote, "The president, of course, has the prerogative to select members of his cabinet, but the Senate is obligated to probe the record and vision of every nominee. We look forward to Senator Chuck Hagel's responses to senators' questions to determine whether he is the best choice for Secretary of Defense." Quote, goes on, "While AJC honors Senator Hagel's record of service to our country and the people of Nebraska, his statements and actions on a range of core U.S. national security priorities raises questions that require clarification." "Notably," said the American Jewish Committee's Harris, "there are serious concerns about Hagel's commitments to the efficacy of sanctions and a credible military option against Iran. On pressing the European Union to designate Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, on sustaining the U.S. policy on the terrorist Hamas regime in Gaza, on the special nature of the U.S.-Israel relationship, and Israel's quest for peace and security, and on gay rights," end quote. The issue of anti-gay statements that Hagel made 14 years ago, when such opinions were unfortunately the norm in Washington and across America, was injected into the debate in order to build a broader consensus against Hagel's nomination that went beyond the lobby's special interests. It was done in the form of a full-page ad in the New York Times by the Log Cabin Republicans, which, under a full-face photo of Hagel, were four lines in large type. "Chuck Hagel, wrong on gay rights, wrong on Iran, wrong on Israel," end quote. After journalists Glenn Greenwald and Andrew Sullivan pointed out that the Log Cabin Republicans had supported Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, whose positions on gay rights now are far worse than Hagel's 14 years ago, and unsuccessfully pressed the organization's president, Clark Cooper, to tell them who had paid for the cash poor group's expensive ad, Cooper resigned and did not give the names of his donors. But he also then issued a statement noting that the Log Cabin Republicans have a long history of showing support for our ally Israel and questioning those who would be soft on Iran, end quote. Writing in the Daily Beast, Sullivan pointed out that just 2 weeks earlier, Cooper had given the former senator his endorsement, pointing out that, quote, Hagel voted with us most of the time, and there was no question he was committed to advancing America's interests abroad. As for his nomination to be Secretary of Defense, wrote Cooper, it is well worth noting that Senator Hagel is a combat veteran who has hands-on experience in the field. The battlefield is not just theory for him, end quote. What caused Cooper to change his mind? In Washington, as elsewhere, it's safe to say, follow the money. In Israel, as could be expected, the prospect of Hagel as America's defense secretary has been viewed with trepidation. When Hagel's name was first leaked, Sever Plocker, Yediot Ahronot's longtime political correspondent, penned an op-ed piece headlined Israel's Nightmare and placed the blame squarely on Netanyahu. Quote, the Israeli prime minister's support for the Republican presidential candidate during the U.S. elections and his blatant support for all of Obama's enemies and haters may soon exact a heavy price, wrote Plocker in December. According to some reports, Obama has already decided to appoint former Republican Senator Chuck Hagel as the next Secretary of Defense. For Israel, the appointment would be the realization of a nightmare, end quote. After reviewing the positions that Hagel has taken contrary to those of Israel and its U.S. supporters, Plocker then wrote, quote, America's foreign policy and defense experts believe Hagel's possible appointment as defense secretary would bring an end to the special and close relations that have existed over the past few years between the Israeli Defense Ministry and the Department of Defense in Washington. The matter, wrote Plocker, was discussed during a meeting between Obama and a group of Jewish figures who were invited to a Hanukkah party at the White House. It's a terrible idea, one of those who attended the event was quoted as saying, but now, after Netanyahu burned all of his personal bridges with Obama, there's nothing the prime minister's office can do about it, end quote. Now, yesterday following the nomination, Plocker called his report Obama's Revenge, the first course of the bitter meal Obama plans to serve Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. During the election campaign, Obama kept a poker face and did not respond to Netanyahu's blatant support for Republican candidate Romney. Now it is time to settle the score, Plocker goes on. Hagel's defense minister is the ultimate nightmare of the rightist government, which, according to the Israeli polls, is expected to be established in Israel following the January elections. In the numerous interviews, Hagel comes off as a conservative politician who is disgusted by what he views as the excessive influence of the American Jewish lobby, that's Plocker, supports dialogue with Iran on the nuclear issue, he makes it a point not to mention the military option, is against tightening of the sanctions, and is willing to extend a hand of reconciliation to Hamas. The liberal Jews in the American press are trying to calm me down, writes Plocker, saying Hagel's not that bad and that his opinions are no different from those of former Mossad director Ephraim Halevi. But they are being naive. Even if Halevi and Hagel's views are similar, their basic interests are different. Halevi speaks as an Israeli patriot who is offering the government advice on how to improve Israel's situation, while Hagel speaks as a conservative American who has had it with the Israeli government's attempt to dictate U.S. policy in the Middle East using the aggressive Jewish lobby. Those are the words of Sever Plocker, writing in Yediot Ahronot and Ynet News Online. But wait. There's another report on the Hagel nomination coming from Israel, courtesy of The Onion, and with a very different take than that of Mr. Plocker from The Onion. Headline, Israel vows to use veto power if Chuck Hagel confirmed as U.S. Secretary of Defense, reads the headline. Then Dateline Jerusalem, top-ranking government officials in Jerusalem confirmed Tuesday that Israel would exercise its long-standing, constitutionally granted veto power over American policy if U.S. lawmakers confirmed retired Congressman Chuck Hagel as the United States' next Secretary of Defense. In light of Mr. Hagel's worrying remarks on Israeli-Palestinian relations and questionable classification of Israeli interests as, quote, the Jewish lobby, end quote, we consider him a highly inappropriate choice for defense secretary who stands far out of line with our national priorities, and therefore we are prepared to swiftly and resolutely use our official veto power over this U.S. action, said Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev, of the legal maneuver that the small Middle Eastern nation has employed to block U.S. cabinet nominees, U.S. legislation, U.S. international relations, and U.S. domestic policy over 1,400 times in a 64-year history. Because Congress does not possess the necessary 9/10 majority to override an Israeli veto, the Onion report continued, they'll have no choice but to head back to the drawing board and provide a defense secretary whom we find more suitable. Sources confirm that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had sent the White House a list of three individuals the Israeli leader considered appropriate to head the American military from which U.S. President Barack Obama could choose. End quote. That's from The Onion, dear listeners, and while it's all satire, by the end of the Hagel hearings, it might prove to be close to the truth. According to Agence France-Presse, bracing for a new bruising Senate confirmation, Hagel pledged on Monday total support for Israel. There is, quote, not one shred of evidence that I'm anti-Israeli, not one vote of mine that matters that hurt Israel, the former Republican senator told the Lincoln Journal Star, a newspaper in his home state of Nebraska. Hagel said that until his nomination was announced, he had been kind of hanging out in no man's land, unable to respond to charges, falsehoods, and distortions, and that he has shown unequivocal total support for Israel, end quote. So it goes.